HarperCollins presents Roaring Girls, The Forgotten Feminists of British History by Holly Kite, read by Helen Keeley. Roaring Girl. Noun. A noisy, bawdy, or riotous woman or girl, especially one who takes on a masculine role. Oxford English Dictionary. Introduction. Girls, we're told, are not supposed to roar. We're supposed to shut up, be quiet, stop nagging. We're supposed to calm down, dear. If we don't, we're bossy, we're aggressive, we're nasty, we're bloody difficult. We're a bunch of loud-mouthed feminazis and hysterical drama queens. If our skirts are too short, we're asking for it. But if we don't make an effort, we should be ashamed. If we don't speak out, how can we expect recognition? But if we do speak out, we get trolled. And that's in the 21st century, after four waves of feminism, when equality has supposedly been won. Imagine, just for a moment, that you're a woman in the 17th century. In your world, feminism doesn't exist. You've been born into a rights vacuum. Your life is one long list of obligations and prohibitions. Your sole destiny as a wife and mother has been preordained since day one, and the feminine ideal expected of you is to be chaste, modest, obedient, and whenever possible, silent. But what if you don't want to be silent? What if you want to roar? Mary Frith was just such a woman, a notorious cross-dressing thief in Jacobean London. She was smashing up every rule in the book when she swaggered onto the stage of the Fortune Theatre in the spring of 1611. Dressed in a doublet and a pair of hose, sword in one hand, clay pipe in the other, to perform the closing number of the play she had inspired. It was called The Roaring Girl. A roaring girl was loud when she should be quiet, disruptive when she should be submissive, sexual when she should be pure, masculine when she should be feminine. She was everything a woman was not supposed to be. And in a world before feminism, she was society's worst nightmare. A woman's lot. The eight roaring girls who feature in this book lived in Britain in the 300 years before the first wave of feminists fought tooth and nail for women's suffrage in the late 1800s. And during those centuries, the political and cultural landscape of the country changed almost beyond recognition. Collectively, these women witnessed the final wave of the English Renaissance and the last days of the Tudors. They saw their country rent by civil war, their monarch murdered and his son restored. They found enlightenment with the Georgian kings and experienced empire and industrialization in the long reign of Victoria. Britain was transforming at an astonishing rate. Yet throughout this period, though it was bookended by female rule, a woman's legal and cultural status remained virtually stagnant. She began and ended it, almost as helpless as a child. The sweeping systemic changes needed to revolutionise a woman's rights and opportunities may have failed to materialise by the late 19th century. But the first rumblings of discontent had long been audible in the background. By the dawn of the 17th century, a radical social shift had begun to creak into action that would falteringly gather pace over the next 300 years. For although Mary Frith was the original Roaring Girl, she wasn't the only woman of the era to find herself living in a world that didn't suit her, and who couldn't resist the urge to stick two fingers up at society in response. The seeds of female insurrection were beginning to germinate across Britain, and the women in this book all played their part.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?